Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. Come on and give God praise. He's worthy.
Thank you, Lord.
Come on, come on. He's worthy. He's worthy.
Yes, he is.
Welcome to the Restoring the Remnant Ministries service. We thank you for being here. Let's go ahead and go into a word of prayer. I believe God has an awesome word, an awesome, powerful thing that he wants to say to you. So let's all stand to our feet if we can. And I hope you filled up on some of these biddles and goodies here. Amen.
Yeah.
This is our annual meeting, but our regular meet and greet that we have on every other Sunday. Amen. Second and the fourth Sundays. May you change that the Lord allow. Amen. Let's roll with it. Gracious and Heavenly Father, God, we thank you. We thank you, God, that you are the God of all creation.
Yes, Lord.
We thank you, God, that you see us even when we can't see ourselves. We thank you, Father, that you hear us even when we don't have the ability to even murmur a word.
Yes.
We thank you, Father, that you know exactly where we are when we find ourselves being lost. And right now, this morning, Father, we praise you, we honor you, we adore you, we glorify your name because we understand and we know that, God, this is the day that you have made, that we shall rejoice and be glad in it, not to be glad because of the fact that we have an opportunity to make a name for ourselves, not to be glad in the fact that we have an opportunity to make more money or to make our name famous or whatever the case may be. But God, this is the day that you have given us that we can rejoice and give you glory, give you praise, give you honor for allowing us this opportunity to wake up with active use in our limbs and in our minds, to have our minds function in the proper way, in the proper alignment. That Father God, even though our circumstances and our situation may be kind of harsh, but Lord God, we are still moving and we are still breathing. Matter of fact, God, we still have breath. And according to your word, it says that as long as we have breath, God, we should give you praise. That everything, God, that has breath, give you praise. So, Father, as we breathe in and as we exhale and inhale, Father, we thank you that we are giving you praise right now. We choose to give you honor. We choose to give you glory. We choose to lift up a banner of hallelujah to you. We choose to let you know that, God, we are appreciative of what you have done for our lives. We choose to thank you. We choose to glorify you. We choose to, Father, in spite of everything, in spite of everything that may happen our way, we know, God, that you are still on the throne, that you have never lost a case, that you never lost a battle, and Father God, you are still moving toward us, that God, your hands are stretched open to us, God, that God, all we have to do is just ask and ask Abba, Father, that you come quick, fast, and in a hurry, that you begin to meet every need according to your riches and glory, and Father, we have nothing, we have want for nothing. God, you always come in, you always make ready, you always make provision, you always heal. You always deliver. You always set free. You always make a way out of no way, Father, because you are the way. And Lord God, we begin to learn to put our trust and our hope in you. Because Father God, we can't breathe without you. We can't live without you. God, we can't even go on without you. So Father, we thank you that you have the very sustenance that we have. You are the very air that we breathe. And Lord God, you are even our sanity, God. You are even the very thing, God, that we live our lives for. Father, it's not about riches. It's not about glory. but it's all to make your name great. It's all to glorify you, God. It's all to give you honor and to give you praise. And Father, use us as a vessel. And Father, right now, we arrest ourselves. We stop our agenda. We stop our motivation. We stop our move. And God, we allow to use this to lift up our hands. And God, touch the very essence of our heart. Touch the very areas, the dark places in us. Touch those areas, God, that are jagged. Touch those areas that are thrown down. Touch those areas where there's deceit. Touch those areas where there's manipulation. Touch those areas where there is sorrowful and resentment and regret and vengeance, Father. But Father, make us new again. Go inside the very chambers of our heart and break up that whole thing. And Father, give us a fresh understanding, a new heart. Let our heart be like yours. Take out any pluck, anything that's not like you. Take out any sliver of glass, sliver of hope that desires to have hope in ourselves. But God, let us put our trust and our hope and our endeavors in you. And Father God, we lift up a Hebanah right now. We lift up a hallelujah right now. We come and let the enemy know that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. But God, Father God, but God, we are powerful, God, in your name. We are powerful as we walk in authority. We are powerful as we walk in the blood. And Father, we put the devil notice right now. We serve notice to the enemy that God, right now, that every plot, every plan has been destroyed by the blood of Jesus Christ. We come against vain imaginations. We come against depression. We come against all the evil things and the evil plots and plans that the evil one has had. That assignment has been canceled. And God, you are ushering us in this new dispensation of life, this new dispensation of blessings. We are renewed every day by your grace and mercy, and we shall walk therein. And Father, we give you praise. We give you glory. We magnify your name. We lift you up on high. We raise up a hallelujah. We raise you. Come on and raise up a hallelujah. Come on and thank him for everything that he is. Everything that he's done and everything he's about to do. He's worthy of all praise. How many know that he's worthy? He's worthy. Come on, say worthy. Worthy, 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 worthy. Yes, he's worthy. Worthy, worthy. We bless your name. We bless your name. We bless your name. I bless your name, God. We bless your name, God. We bless you. We bless you. We bless your name. We bless your name. We bless you. And Father, anyone that's not hearing the sound of my voice, I pray, Father, that your Holy Spirit meet them where they are. God, surround them right now in the name of Jesus. Surround and encamp about them, God. Let them not be able to move right now. Let them not be able to go anywhere. But God, let your presence engulf them now. Let them feel your presence, God. Let them feel your love, God. Father, they don't have to come to a physical church. But Lord God, I pray that right where they are, right there in their prayer closet, right there in their living room, right there in their car, right there at their desk, that God, you begin to cause a revival to take place right in their atmosphere. Yeah, God, that you begin to shift everything, that it be alignment with your word. That God, you begin to step into that place and expand the territory, and you begin to break down the walls, that your glory shall be revealed. I speak it now by the authority of Jesus Christ. I speak now that you begin to become closer to us like never before, and that we begin to acknowledge you, that we begin to identify your presence, that we'll, matter of fact, that we'll begin to look for your presence, that God, we'll begin to seek out for you, that we'll begin to run after you, God, that we'll begin to search after you, that God, our hearts begin to be turned to you, God, that our minds begin to turn to you, that our thoughts and our perspective is turned to you, God. Father, we bow down before your throne.
Yes, Lord.
And we allow you to do a new work in us. We allow the very word that has been spoken from the beginning to be created and be completed in us right now, that we shall do great things for your name's sake, that we shall help those that are in need of help. We shall spread the gospel to every corner of this world. That we'll begin to lead others to Christ. That we'll begin to show them the hope and the blessings in serving you. And for that, God, we praise you. Come on and give God praise.
Hallelujah.
We got to get back to just some straight up prayer. Oh, yeah, just some straight up prayer. We're going to now have a little bit of worship. Come on, just enjoy your hands and just listen and sing along with it. And we'll just kind of just fellowship for a few moments while the word of God begins to come forth in a few moments here.
I don't believe in fairy tales. Because I have known that does mean that I can do that there's something bigger than me. Because I see,
yeah,
it's true. And I just say sorry. There's nothing more we can do. It was true. I've never seen a heart open. End of the rainbow. I've got a promise I can hold. End of the struggle. And if you say you put more, it might be how I want you to. But here's what I do. I'm going away on you.
Thank you.
You will renew your strength.
He has done great things.
He has done great things.
Oh, he has done great things.
He has done great things.
Bless his holy
and bless his holy.
Come on, just praise God right there. Yes, 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 yes. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Everything that's within me, everything in my body, every fiber of my being wants to praise God. Not because of what he does for me. Not because of the blessings. Not because of the healing. But just because he is God.
Yes.
Just because he is God. You know, just because he has the ability to do the things that only he can do. And the fact that he's chosen to include us in this great work, in this great creation, this great manifestation of how our world has evolved. He includes us as his chosen vessels. And for that, I am truly grateful. Definitely grateful. Praise God. I'm so glad to be here. I believe that God has an awesome word for you. We have been talking in our series called Affirmed. And now last week we talked about how, Simone Biles and how sometimes you get to a place where you feel like you're just out of the loop. You feel like you're just kind of going around. You have no grounding. You have no foundation. But I'm so glad that we found out that God is our foundation. He's the one that tells us that we are loved. He tells us that we are more than conquerors. He tells us, first of all, that we are heirs, that we are kings, men and women. We are a part of this royal priesthood. We are part of this royal legacy. And he begins to make us his own because we are his and he is ours. And so when we know that very thing of who we are and who he is, and God knows who we are, we have an idea of where we need to go. We have an idea of the purpose that is charted out for us. We have an idea of the plan that God has for our lives. We have an idea of the things that he has. But today I'm going to talk to you about something that's a little bit even more important. So if let's go ahead and go into our scripture, and I pray that this comes out the way that I need it to come out, however God wants it to come out. But let's go to 2 Corinthians, the first chapter, 18 through the 22nd verse, and we're also going to drop down to Philippians 16 and 6 and 7, for 1, 6 and 7. 2 Corinthians, first chapter, 18 through the 22nd verse. And also Philippians, the first chapter, the 6th and the 7th verse. Say amen if you have it. If you don't have it, don't say amen. But say amen when you do. You got it? Now, y'all should be quick now. I don't hear no pages turning. It'd just be the click of the point search. First Corinthians, slide down and hit 1 and 6 and whatever else you need to do. Okay. 2 Corinthians, first chapter, 18 through the 22nd verse, and it reads, as God is faithful, our message to you is not yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, whom we proclaimed among you, Silvanus, Timothy, and I, did not become yes and me. Yes and no, excuse me. On the contrary, in him, it is always yes. For every one of God's promises is yes in him. Therefore, through him, we also say amen to the glory of God. Now, it is God who strengthens us together with you in Christ and who has anointed us. He has also put his seal on us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a down payment. Now, I'm reading from the Christian Standard Version, I believe, and you may have the King James Version, and I believe in the King James Version, that it says in there that God's promises, in a sense, are saying that it's God's promises are yes and amen. Is that what you guys have in King James Version? That God's promises are yes and amen. Amen. Let's drop down to Philippians 1st chapter 6 and 7. And this is King James Version I'm going to read. And hopefully we'll get us all tied in. being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you, all because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defiance and confirmation of the gospel, ye are all partakers of my grace. We are coming from the series out of what I mentioned before as being affirmed. And the message for this particular part in our series is called, There is a Yes in Between. There is a Yes in Between. There is a Yes in Between. If we were to take a count, or we would try to take the Word of God, and we would look at or try to define all of the promises that God mentioned to us in the Word of God, it'll probably estimate to well over 5,000 or so different times in the Bible that you will see where God makes promises. Matter of fact, I was reading an article the other day when they basically had put it to the point where they came up with about 8,000 or so promises where God had mentioned that he will do a certain thing, or he will promise to do a certain thing. And what we figure out and what we find out is that majority of those promises, or some of those promises, excuse me, were may have been to a specific person. Say, for example, he promises and tells Abraham that, I will take care of you and your lineage that comes before you. Or he may promise, you promise Sarah that you shall have a child. You know, those promises that it goes maybe directly to a particular character that we read about in the Bible. And then there are other promises that he gives, or that he says, that he states, that he stands behind, that he basically says to all of creation that he gives these particular promises on. And now, like I said, we could spend hours and hours and hours, maybe even days on end, trying to figure out and highlighting every area in the Bible where God specifically spoke of a particular promise. But nevertheless, in spite of really searching for them and finding out exactly what those promises are, I believe that we as people, as individuals, as this world, as a society, we probably have only actually have stepped into or have seen or have had manifested promises. Maybe at least I'll say about maybe less than about 20% compared to that 8,000 or 5,000 or whatever is estimated to be. We've maybe only walked in about 20% of the promises of God. Now, when we think about that, it seems like, wow, I never really thought about it that way. And I never really thought about that way either as I began to prepare for this sermon. But I realized that, you know, a lot of times we don't really walk into everything that God says. We know that God has promised us something and something great. We know that you know, everything like the scripture said, we've heard this from scripture many times before, that the promises of God are yes and amen. That the promises of God are yes and amen. That God says yes and we say amen.
Amen.
Amen. We come in agreement with the very things that God has said. But there's only a portion of those promises that we really walk into. Now, I understand that a lot of times it's no fault of nobody else, no fault of, you know, our own. It's just that we get ourselves in a particular mode, or we get ourselves in a particular method. We begin to take certain things and we begin to fit them in the structure that we're common to. In other words, a lot of times when there is something inside of us that is desiring to do something great, and we have this idea, we have this goal, we have this plan, or we think of a thought that seems to be good for the benefit not only of us, or maybe the benefit of our family, or matter of fact, maybe even the benefit of this world, or the benefit of the community. We may have an idea, we may have an invention, we may have something that will inspire somebody, we may have a method or something that we learned, we may have a revelation, we may have whatever it may be that we feel that may bring another level of greatness to someone, another level of hope to someone, another level of peace to someone, another level of love and encouragement to someone. We oftentimes put it into a parameter or put it into a structure to try to verify it, or try to validate it. I can't help but remember the time when we were getting to the place where we were in our ministry, where we were leaving one particular place that we knew so well. We were in a building that we knew that we basically have kind of put our stake in, have put our foot down, kind of planted and put roots there. And when the circumstance or the different situation of things calls for us to step outside of our comfort zone and step outside into a new territory, to a new place, or we now have to journey on, wasn't sure how things were going to come together, wasn't sure how things were going to be, we wasn't sure what was going to happen. But I remember trying to get a validation on should we move to the theater, to Net Park. I was trying to get some type of confirmation of, okay, I believe, and I said it in my spirit, I believe the Lord has opened this door for us to move forward over here. And I, me personally, your pastor, your leader, has set that very thing that I believe that God has said, or believe that God had did, and tried to fit it into confinement or some type of structural thing. But it was really what I usually do. And many times we find ourselves putting things into this particular structure. And what is that structure? That structure sometimes can be your circumstance. Sometimes it can be your predicament. Sometimes it can be the very thing that you have seen or the very thing that you have researched. A lot of times that structure that we try to put things in is something that usually is based on past experience or predicted results. So I was trying to get confirmation to move to the next level where God was going to take the ministry. Okay? We didn't know how he was going to do it. We didn't know how it was going to be coming together. But the door was open where we could move in. Okay? But I wanted to get the validation and confirmation. And the place that I saw validation and confirmation I would get that confirmation. Yeah, that's a great thing. That's an awesome thing to move. That's a great thing to do. That's a, you know, go forward. I think you can do it. Only got ridicule and persecution. And even in that process of doing that, I relied more on the result of what I had sought out to get compared to what God has spoken in my spirit. You see, when God begins to speak things into, oh God, here he is. When God begins to speak into our spirit, even though we may not understand exactly how it's going to play out, we must know that there is a yes in between. What do I mean by there's a yes in between? You see, I was trying to get confirmation to move on into the next thing of God. But what I failed to realize is that the next thing of God was something that God had spoken, but also would have been something that he had already provided for. And even though he has spoken it, and if God has speaks it, he also gives you a confirmation or an affirmation of a yes. I'm reminded even of when David got overtaken by the city of Ziklag, and he began to sought the Lord. And he began to say, Lord, should we pursue this particular place? Should we pursue them? He said, yes, we shall recover all. You see, when God begins to give you the confirmation of a yes, there's no question about it. There's no need to try to verify it. There's no need to try to validate it, because God's promises are always yes and amen. So what we do is we get ourselves into a position where we begin to try to figure out, we begin to ask people for validation, we begin to do certain things. And yes, we do that. Sometimes it is good. Sometimes it's good when you have a business plan to run it by somebody that may have ran a business. And sometimes they'll give you the ins and outs, the things that you look for. But nevertheless, if God has spoken it into your spirit, that does give you the ability, it does give you the lease, it does give you the go-ahead, it gives you the green light to move forward. It gives you the ability to know that no matter what comes your way, you will be all right. So when I talk about that there is a yes in between, what I begin to realize is that we as an individual, we as a people, because of our circumstances, because of the situation, because of the things that we're in, because of the things that we have overcome, because of the things that we have experienced, because of the things that we're about to experience, we find ourselves kind of struggling along in a position where we're at some place in our life, we're at two points, or very pivotal points. Most of the time, we're in that place where everything, and here's what it's labeled, everything is good so far. Everything is good so far. This is what this particular chair represents. That everything is good so far. I want you to understand what that basically means. Everything is good so far is those things of where you come to a place of understanding that, yes, I've gone through all these situations. I've trusted God to take me from my place of being in sin and my place of being ridiculed, my place of coming out and understanding that there is a hope, that there is a love, that there is a Christ that died on the cross for my sins. And because of that, I'm able to make it to this point. So everything is good so far. I don't know what's going to come this way, but I do know that if he did it last time, he shall do it again. And everything is good so far. Right now, this moment, he is providing all of my needs according to the riches and the glory. And I'm living in right now where everything is good so far. And a lot of times we can find ourselves stuck at that place of where everything is good so far, and we get complacent. We get complacent to the point where everything that God has done already, we are okay with that. And I've often said to myself, if God, you don't do me anything else, you have already done enough. Who are we to ask God to do more than what he's already have done? Who are we to ask God to bless us more or outside of what he has already blessed us with? Are we not being grateful? Are we not being satisfied with what God has done? We sing the song, I am so satisfied. I am so satisfied with my Savior. Yes, I'm so satisfied with my Savior. But do we ever understand that we have the ability, we have the right, we have a legal assignment, we have the go-ahead to expect more from God? Now, it may sound crazy to some of us, and I probably will be very short. This may sound crazy that we begin to expect more from God. But I'll tell you something that's kind of interesting. You see, when Paul was writing the letter to the church, he was basically dealing with a lot of different things that were coming on. First of all, he was trying to basically deal with the fact that he had desired to go and meet these people. If you go read up in the earlier parts of the scripture, he had desired to go meet this church. He desired to go come and visit with him and, you know, Silvanus and Timothy and all of the whoever was rolling with him. He had desired to come around and come and meet with them, fellowship with them, make sure they were good, make sure their faith was strong. He had desired to do these things. And he said, you know, I'm going to come and I'm going to visit with you at this particular time. But sometimes circumstances happen. And he begins to find himself in circumstances where the very thing that he said he could not be, and he was not able to do. And so because of that, the people were kind of worried or began to kind of question the faith and the integrity of the words that he spoke of when he talked about Jesus Christ. They began to kind of wonder if this very same gospel that you have been preaching about Christ and all these promises that God has, do we truly have access to it? Are they truly tangible? Are they truly real? Are they truly going to come to pass? And just because that he was unable to meet his requirement, meet what he had said he was going to do, because of the circumstances, he had to really kind of explain to them that, yes, even if I'm able to come or not, the promises that we've always preached about, the thing that I've lived, it's always have been true to the point. It has always been valid. It has always been integrable. Matter of fact, it's more integrable than the thing that I've said, because it always is what it is. Because if we put our hope in God, he will never fail us. He will never. He has never failed us. He has a proven track record. So what Paul was doing was writing this letter to the church to try to encourage them, to let them know that all the promises that God has spoken over our lives, everything that he has said about you, everything that he has promised and purposed for you, everything that he has done, everything that he has said, it is a yes. I don't know if you understand what yes means. Yes means that yes, it's going to take place. Yes, it is surely going to happen. There is no question about it. There is no wavering. It is that what I said it was. And when we think about the yes that God gives us, it is a yes that will never tarnish or fade away because it is his word. And we've understood the fact that the word would never come back to God void, but it is a moving word that would actually establish the very yes that it said it was going to do. Meaning, if he has spoken something, he's surely going to make sure that it's going to come to pass. Because if he didn't, he would not have spoken it. And if he would not have spoken it, then it would not be. So he has to speak it, knowing the fact of who he is. He stands by that word, and he begins to not only put a yes, but allow you to have the ability to come in agreement with that yes and to say amen. It's a connection. It's like putting your paper on that dotted line when you're signing up for a home. It's like putting, it's like the blood on the cross over our sins, meaning that we are redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. We are redeemed by his precious blood. And although we don't really see it, and many people may question it, but because of his blood, it actually is. And we say amen in agreement by faith that the very thing that he did on the cross is now still living, breathing, and moving right now in us. Whereas we have the ability, we have the inspiration, we have the encouragement to go from everything is good so far to now try to pursue the next level of there is better yet to come. This is that level of there is better yet to come. This is that level where you begin to say, okay, God, I know that everything is good so far, but I am also believing you for the better that is yet to come. I may not see it, I may not understand it, I may not even be qualified for it, but there is better yet to come. But you can back up and know that there's something that's in the middle, and that thing that's in the middle is the yes that is in between. What does the yes represent? It represents all the promises that's in God's word. It represents all your sowing and your tithing and all the things you've given. It is the very thing that validates yourself to get you to that place where not only when you say yes to God, you also say amen because you read his word and you begin to agree with his word and you begin to put it down in the love of your heart. Matter of fact, you put it so down deep in your heart that you begin to walk that very thing out. It is something about a person that not only takes the word reason, but they believe it and they decide to make that word their reality and begin to be the living word. That's what Christ did. And that's what Paul says, that we are justified or we are verified by the yes that is through Christ Jesus that is living inside of us. How is that living inside of us? It is living inside of us by way of the Holy Spirit. See, when we go back to Genesis, we can see the account when God created man, he began to breathe the breath of life in him. He also breathed in his spirit. And when he began to breathe in his spirit, the spirit began to make agreement and began to refer everything back to him. But it also made remembrance of Christ. And when it made remembrance of Christ, every time that we begin to think about everything that we've done and all the good things happened in our life, it was all because of Christ, but it was all because of God sending Christ our way. So when we think about the fact that God begins to put a yes inside of us, he begins to put that yes inside of our spirit. And we already know that the Spirit makes intercession for us because when we get ourselves into a place, we get ourselves into a predicament, when we get ourselves into a fault, we have the ability to now tap into the spirit realm of ourselves and begin to pull upon the promises that God has already spoken so that we can be able to move from this place of being good so far to move into that place of, yes, there are better to come. There is much more inside of you than we've ever even tapped into. There is much more than the things that we are living on a day-to-day basis. God has so much more in store for us that we have to now walk out into this very thing that we call faith and begin to say, you know what, God, you promised in your word that I will be able to preach to the nations. You promised in your word that I will be able to speak to those. You promised in your word that I will be taking care of my children will be taken care of. You promised that in your word. So instead of us staying at the place of contentment, if God will and if God, you know, choose to do it, no. God has already said, I will take care of you. The same promises of Abraham are the same promises that we walk in right now, where we'll have blessings from generation to generation to generation. Blessings from generation to generation to generation. We're worried about trying to take care of everything right now, but God has given you a generational word. He said that not only are you going to be taken care of right now, but I'm also going to take care of your tomorrow. I'm going to take care of the next week. I'm going to take care of the next year. I'm going to take care of the next decade. And not only just for you, but for you, your family, your grandchildren to come, your grandchildren to come after that, and so on and so forth. That's what God promises. That's what he does. And he does that, and he begins to confirm all these promises that are lined up in our lives. There's promises that you have not even seen manifested yet. But just because you have not seen them does not mean that they're not on the way. Just because you have not been able to taste it or to touch it or to smell it does not mean that it's not on the way. See, there is an appointed time that God begins to allow you to meet straight up with his promise and straight up with the situation and the circumstances you have to deal with to get to that promise. Yeah, you're going to have some certain situations. You're going to have some circumstances. Matter of fact, that's what Paul and the rest of them had to go through. They had some situations where everything turned around on their life, and they now had to kind of go through and deal with certain things. They had to deal with being accused. They had to deal with being persecuted. They had to deal with, you know, being lied upon. They had to deal with being thrown in jail. They had to deal with being whipped. They had to deal with being criticized for this gospel that they're standing on. And the thing about it is, well, we have to get to a place of understanding, because we are affirmed in Christ, we have to understand that even if the circumstances or the situations come in our lives, that is just validation of the promise of God that he has for us. Don't you think that the enemy would not, if there was nothing, if there was no value on your life, if there was no threat on your life, do you think the enemy will spend time messing up your mind? Because you're not a threat. But he knows there's something great that's about to take place in your life or your lineage. There's something about to happen. I know something about to pop off. So he now gets into the midst of your inner thoughts, and he begins to shift things around, and he begins to try to make you think that everything is not working the way that God has purpose and God has planned and God has intended. And you begin to now abort the very blessing, and you go back instead of going to the better is yet to come. You kind of stay right here, because I'm so good so far. Or sometimes you get even further back and be in that place of, well, maybe it wasn't in God's will. Or you get even further back into that place of, well, Lord, maybe you don't love me. Get into that resentment and that condemnation, and you go back to those very things where he has delivered you from, where he has promised to save you from. He has promised to save you from the guilt of your past. He has promised to save you from the stuff in your closet, the condemnation that you carried around. He says, now, I promise you, if you just believe on Jesus Christ, just believe. I promise you that those that believe on him shall not perish but have everlasting life. I promise you that. So you have to believe on him. And you have to also read the word that says, now there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. So now you have the ability to say amen and now begin to believe in Christ and did that for the cross. But the enemy comes in and tries to erase all that stuff that he wants you to come in agreement with. And when we do that, we are now setting ourselves or putting ourselves in a position to fail when we do that. We should always understand and should always know that the promises of God are yes and amen. What does that basically mean? It means that yes, you surely can have it, and amen, I'm going to agree with it. He gives that ability to agree with it. That's the connection of the Holy Spirit. When we begin to agree with the promise of God, it's something in our spirit that begins to say, okay, what do you think God reaches out to? I'll be honest with you, God really doesn't reach out to your flesh. He doesn't reach your flesh. The devil reaches your flesh. He reaches out to your spirit. He that worship me must worship me in spirit and in truth. While we spend time reaching out to your flesh, when he understands that your flesh, in your flesh lies no good thing. The enemy, which is the devil, Satan knows what your flesh can do. Satan knows that you can be tempted. Satan knows that, you know, if you get something in your eye set and, you know, or you get offended, you get angry, somebody hits you in your flesh, he knows about your flesh. That's why he pushes your flesh. But your spirit knows. That's why God begins to allow us and tells us that we, and Paul, matter of fact, he said it, is that we must constantly battle the flesh and the spirit, because there is a constant war between the flesh and the spirit. There's a constant war. You're constantly battling, your spirit's constantly trying to go at war with your flesh. And I'm going to tell you, it's not something that's like a Rocky against Creed type of situation. It's more so right here, in the essence of your mind. Oh, I should tell her off. And the spirit said, no, you shouldn't tell her off. I should slap her because she did this. No, you should forgive her. I should go ahead and get this, you know, because it makes it feel good. No, you should stay away from that because the fact is going to kill you. And a lot of times we don't understand that when you begin to allow the flesh, allow the spirit to be in agreement with the word of God, what it's actually doing, it is taking us to the very place where God is about to do some great things. That's why it says that he that begun a good work with you shall establish him to the very end. Is that what he's doing? He's beginning to pull your spirit in certain places. That's why you begin to get certain situations and circumstances. Sometimes God has to have these things happen. Sometimes God has to give you a no sometimes. So, oh my God. He has to give you a no sometimes so that you understand that there is a yes coming soon. No to what you think is what you might want. But there's I need to say no to this because there's another and there's better coming for you. And it may feel rejected, it may feel like, you know, that they're talking about you, but I got to shut you and pull you out of that, because the yes that I have for you or the promise that I have for you is much greater than what you try to settle for. I've had many times where I said, God, I want to do this. Nope. Nada. No. I need to know. Nada. Never. And when I settle back and say, okay, God, whatever it is that you want, all of a sudden, hey, I saw you on this, and I want to have you come over here to do this. Or I've been watching your spirit, and I see how those things have dealt with you and how you handled it. I need to figure out how do I get that thing in my life. Just had something, just recently, I think I told my wife about it in Gloria. Just had somebody reach out to me from a whole nother city in a whole nother different circumstance where they don't have access to get on Facebook from a jail cell. And I didn't understand why he connected with me. I didn't understand what my assignment was. But I did understand that God promised me that if you begin to be obedient to the very things that I am commissioning you to do, even though you don't understand it, I'm going to allow it to just come your way. And I kid you not, there's been people or things or circumstances that allow me to understand the assignment that he has given me, because God will send those people right at a particular time. And then I'll understand that the promise that he said a long time ago, that I want to use you to restore. Matter of fact, the word that came from my sister here at our little outreach, I can't remember exactly all of it, but I understand what it was saying, the gist of it, was that we'll be the ones that will restore these things, restore the cities, restore the breaches, restore these things. It's happening. It's happened. I never would have thought that I would be the one that would help somebody else, because I felt that I was messed up before in my own life. You probably never thought that you'd be the one, Gloria, all of us, never thought that we'd be able to help restore somebody just from what we've already gone through, because we know that our lives are already jacked up. But they look out and they see you, because somehow or another, they begin to see you operating in the promises that you didn't even know you were operating. I remember when another friend of mine had talked about or asked Sister Charlene to pray. Didn't know Sister Charlene from Grip, but saw how she was praying in the corner at our service. and wanted her to pray, we went to some of the services we had for her at that time. That's because of the fact that we all have to understand that we have to operate in the way and in the promise of what God has said. We may not understand, but we have to do the things of God. We have to go by the leading of our spirit. We have to go by the leading when God says to do certain things. It's all a part of that promise that he's going to bring you to another place. It's going to be all a part of that. You want to understand how you get a house? Sometimes you have to give up everything to get a house. You want to get that job? Sometimes you got to be without a job to get a job. You have to get the lowest of lows to get to the highest of highs. That's how God operates. I don't know how he does it. I don't know why he does it. But I get the fact that it's all because he has to get the glory for it. And when he gets the glory, there's no shadow of a doubt that that glory, it belongs to God because of the fact that nobody could have done it but God. Nobody could have done it but God. Nobody could give you what God's about to give you but him. Your family can't do it. The bank can't do it. They may be the channel, the vessel that has it, that's going to do it through. But nobody can do that but him. So I, today, encourage you to understand the fact that if God has promised it, it shall surely come to pass. Get yourself in the right position. What is the right position? Is giving God the amen. Because when we give to God the amen, we are giving God the agreement to say, okay, God, you can use me. If God comes to you and say, hey, I want to start a ministry inside of you, you say amen. Now, I'm going to be honest with you, it may not be an easy amen. And it may not be an easy process. I'm just going to let you know that right now. 9 times out of 10, it ain't going to be an easy process. When God says, I'm going to use you to speak to the nations, yeah, that's got to be truly, that's not an easy process. Because in that process of doing that, there's going to be times when you're going to be rejected. There's going to be times when you're going to feel like you're not qualified. There's going to be times when you feel that you're not worthy. There's going to be times when you feel that you're not good enough. There's going to be times when you question yourself. There's going to be times when you're trying to go, oh, I'm going to mess this whole thing up. Every day I think that. I hope that I'm just doing the right thing. I hope I don't mess this up. I hope I don't mess this up. But you know what? God promised me something. He promised me something. He said, if you be beautiful and faithful, and it ain't even about the expansion of the church. He said, if you be beautiful and faithful, you're going to see it. And I'm just believing for the greater yet to come. Even in this, this is operating in the promise. Yes, I want all these shares to be filled. Matter of fact, they are filled. Because there's greater yet to come. They're being filled. But it's not about being filled by way of the physical capacity. Don't know what God is doing. I know he's doing something. Because he promised that he would never leave me nor forsake me. He promised that if I go out here and put myself out there and be his representation, that he will not embarrass me. And I have not been embarrassed since. I've embarrassed myself a few times. Falling in that chair with one of them. Amen. But it's okay. Because he promised me that even in that, that's going to be a blessing. It's a blessing in that. I may not see it, but it's a blessing. Now, what that blessing is, I do not know. But it's going to happen. Maybe he'll give you the land. I don't know. Give us the land. I don't know. But I guarantee you this, any place where the enemy tries to embarrass you, God is going to reward you. He says, I will make a table in the presence of my enemies. Again, we'll let you eat there in the presence of your enemies. You're going to be eating, and your enemies are going to see you eating and eating very good. Very well. He's going to bless you in front of everybody else. You can't even stop. It's just going to be boom. It ain't going to be, girl, what did you blow up? You got that all? Yeah, my God, you did it. Okay, all right. It's coming. Relationships and marriages, it's coming. It's coming. The houses, it's coming. The job, it's coming. School, education, the scholarships for your children, all that has been promised. As long as you have given God your yes, as long as you've committed yourself to him, and you're doing the very thing, the essence of everything that you feel that you know to do, that's the yes. You're coming covenant with it. Kind of like, same thing with tithe. That's why I'm not a big preacher on tithe. And y'all know that. I don't really like, oh, we got to pay your tithe. We've come out of that situation.
We talk about those different things. We got to pay your tax. I encourage you, you need to pay your tax. The reason I say that, I say it for my example, is because I now have covenant with God. That's my covenant. That is our covenant, my family. That is our covenant with God. I'm serious. That is our covenant. That is, you know, like, okay, God, you said it's going to Malachi. Give it to the storehouse. We give it to the storehouse. Once we give it to the storehouse, whatever the storehouse do is whatever God intended them to do. That's it. It's not my responsibility from there. My job is to give it to the storehouse. It's up to the storehouse to distribute where they are. And people got a hang up, and that's where they get stuck at so good so far. People got a hang up, oh, I paid my tithe to them, but they not doing anything with it. Do you really know what they're doing with it? You may not always see what they're doing with it. They may be doing stuff behind the scenes. But don't worry about what you don't see. Worry about doing your part of it. That's what I learned. I do my part. I give my cup. I don't care what people say. Well, that's Old Testament. I don't care about all that. All I know is when I pay my tithe, I get blessed and sustained. When I don't pay my tithe, the blessings get hindered and I'm not sustained. That's all I know. That's good enough for me. So when I pay, I see blessings come out left and right, even blessings over my children. That's just my testimony, because I understand that I'm pulling on covenant. I did what God has said. He said yes. I said amen, and then blessings come. I can't explain it, but you can look in the Word. He'll tell you everything about it. So that's why I understand this concept, and when I do that, I am affirmed by Him. I am His child. I am His creation. I am His son. I'm all those things and more. Because I understand that yes is in between. Come on, give God praise. If any of you desire to give unto this ministry, you can definitely please go to our website at rcrmi.org. You can find where you can sow into ministry. This has been a blessing to you, and that is a blessing to us. We just want to be something that we can be able to allow you to have a place where you can hear and see the preach the word of God and be able to minister to your soul. But my biggest concern, my biggest hope is that you come to know Him as a personal Savior. And if you do not know Him as a personal Savior, then all you have to do is say these words with me to say this simple prayer. Father, I'm a sinner. Today, I make you my Lord. Today, I realize that you are the Son of the living God, that I take away the sins of this world. So, Lord, forgive me of my sins. Forgive me, Lord. And today I make you the Lord and Savior of my life. And I pray that you begin to endow me with the Holy Spirit that will lead me and guide me to the ways of how to be better and to be more of a child of God, be more like Christ. And right now, because of that, I plead the blood of Jesus over every curse, every sickness, and every disease that the enemy has tried to destroy from my family and from generations to come. I cancel the assignment by the blood of Jesus. And I shall walk in liberty. The chains have been broken over my life and over my family life. And I thank you. I give you praise. I give you honor. If you have said that prayer, that all of heaven is rejoicing with you at the sound of someone being saved. And today I pray that you find you a Bible teaching, Bible believing church where you can plug it to. If not, you come join us at RCRMI. We're right here at 1234 82nd Street in Tampa, Florida, 53619. My name is Apostle Douglas, and I'm so glad that you have been healed. You have been delivered, but praise God, you have been restored. Come on, everybody, let's come on, give God praise. Amen. Worthy. What about that? You doing all right, doing all right.
It was good, no.